Blog Talk Radio.
Jordan Pauline, you can find her on Instagram. That's her newest single entitled What. Had her on the show last podcast. She's doing majorly well right now and so adorable. Like, she's just a philanthropist and a singer, songwriter, and a performer. So big up to Jordan for that single What. So today we have in the studio Dana Donofrey. And she is the founder of Ana Ono. She's going to be in the studio with me tonight. And so just to give you a little bit of insight on Dana, let's just give you some insight by giving you some understanding. So what they go by, here at Ana Ono, we know the importance of community. We work hard to ensure that no woman going through diagnosis, treatment, or surgery feels alone. That's why we make sure to align ourselves with reputable organizations who share our vision. It's our deepest belief that when faced with a diagnosis, you deserve the best, and with us, you are never alone. Hashtag never alone. And I noticed that on a lot of her postings on Instagram, and I've even been reposting these things, guys. So without further ado, let's bring the lady of the hour. Ms. Dana, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm coming out of having, you know, I had my breast implants done, Dana, on the 16th of August, so not too long ago, and then I got a touch of hematoma on the 9th of September, so I had to go back under the knife for that. That was kind of scary. But now I am, you know, we got to talk because I need some new bras, because this bra that they gave me two, but the white one looks like a handmaid's bra. Like, I hate it, but I have to wear it. And, it's, you know, I got to wear them. My breast, my plastic surgeon says I have to keep it on for now because of the hematoma scare. He just says I have to constantly wear the bra, so... definitely. But enough about me. Let's get into you.
I am loving your website. It's just amazing. And let's get started with first question. You yourself, breast cancer survivor, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so what's your
story? Yeah. Yeah, I was diagnosed in 2010 at the age of 27 and had no family history, didn't really, you know, have a reason to think that, like, you know, as a young woman, I would get breast cancer. I didn't even know young women got breast cancer. And just kind of one of those deals that, yeah, it was a total shock. It came completely out of the blue.
You know what's so interesting, Dana, that you say that, because when I interviewed, and I want you to come back on the show next month, and if it's not you, if it's someone from your camp, that would be great, because, you know, next month does mark Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so I want to definitely dedicate the entire month to nothing but podcasts regarding breast cancer and raising more awareness. And, you know, so when you mentioned about the young age you were, I think that it seems to be a myth with when it comes to breast cancer is, oh, I'm not, you know, this age, so it shouldn't affect me, or my breasts are not this size, so it shouldn't affect me. Because I did interview the ladies of For the Breast of Us. Are you familiar with them?
Yes, I love them very much. They're such a great organization.
Yeah.
Two awesome chicks.
Yeah. So Jasmine has a similar testimony like you, where she was in her 20s. So this is very enlightening. I didn't know that you were that young. So I'm so blessed to have met and come across you. So how many years have you been cancer-free?
So in February of next year, of 2020, it will be 10 years since my diagnosis. So I feel really fortunate that I was able, you know, that my feet are still here on this earth and I'm still, you know, running around and, you know, kicking it where I can, you know. I think that that's like such a huge, huge part. I mean, at 27 years old, at the type of diagnosis I had, I really have literally been a cancer patient for the last 9 years. I've been on meds, hormonal suppressants, kind of all of those things. And that's been a process of treating my disease. And just recently, about almost a year ago, I decided to go off of my treatment because I just was really having a very big slump in my quality of life. And it was becoming really taxing. And I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity or the choice to get off of my treatment because we thought I had been on it long enough. But I think it's such a reality, right? Like, breast cancer isn't just a blimp on the radar. It really does, or it can, you know, last a long time, or maybe even possibly a lifetime.
No, I agree. I'm glad that you mentioned that. So Dana, what type of procedure, if you don't mind me asking, did you have to have done in order to have yours removed?
So I was diagnosed early stage HER2 positive. So because of the aggressiveness of my cancer, I removed both of my breasts. So I did a bilateral mastectomy, and I had both of them reconstructed. And I was on I did 6 rounds of chemotherapy, and I was on a drug called Herceptin for an entire year. So that was what kind of the targeted therapy that went directly after my type of cancer.
Wow. And I can concur and relate, because I had a double mastectomy because I was given the choice of, like, you know, radiation and chemo. And honestly, when I even heard the word radiation, I was just like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that. I just did not. So my oncologist, when she gave me the option, well, Ty, you know, we can do a double mastectomy because yours was caught at stage zero. So, yes, I kind of went all out with getting the mastectomy. But honestly, I did it because cancer doesn't run in my family. Breast cancer doesn't, but other forms of cancer do. And I just did not want to run the risk of okay, have that lymphectomy or radiation, and then what's the chances of it may pop up in my lymph nodes or somewhere else, you know? So
right.
This is an interesting journey because I do agree with you. I'm on pain meds that I have to take because of the breast cancer reconstructive surgery. I've been cut open so many times, and you know the regenerating of the nerves and things such as that causes a lot of pain certain days.
Right.
And I have to maintain taking these meds, but I do manage my pain with the medication to still have a functional life, because you can't just stay in bed all day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a major reality, right, for a lot of these surgeries, is that they aren't just, you don't just bounce back up and get into your normal routine, you know, a week after surgery. I mean, these are major, major operations. And, you know, depending on, you know, how your reconstruction is, if you did implants or you decide to take other parts of the tissue from one part of your body to reconstruct another, it's, you know, I mean, some people, you know, recover for months after these procedures. And, you know, I always kind of feel like I know now with social media, you know, a lot more people say this, but like, it's not a boob job, you know, and women that undergo boob jobs don't just pop back into their normal routine either. But, you know, there is a different level when you are removing all of that breast tissue from your body and, you know, and then trying to recover and go about your day. It takes a little while.
It really does. So, Dana, I want to share with our listeners, because I think this is super, super hot. Let me share with them, and then I'll let you expound on it. And then I'm going to take this call after that, because I noticed you've got a caller calling with area code 818. So before we get to the caller, let's get this. I want to share with our listeners something that I find very amazing, and it was on your About Us on your page, on your website. But let me share with our listeners. So Dana's company states, it's our deepest beliefs that when faced with a diagnosis, you deserve the best. And with us, you are never alone. So for three consecutive years, they have had the honor to showcase at Fashion Week, at New York Fashion Week, in partnership with Project Hashtag Cancerland, a platform that is focused on changing the conversation and evoking accountable actions for cure of breast cancer. All raised from the show go to METAVIVOR. So METAVIVOR, an organization that uses 100% of the monies raised to fund research grants to improve lives of stage, is this, tell me again, Dana, it's Roman numeral I and V. Is that six? Or is that five?
So it's stage four breast cancer. It is an organization called MetaViver. Yep. So it's like metastatic breast cancer. But instead of, you know, being a survivor, because a lot of these patients don't identify with surviving breast cancer because they are terminally ill, right? They've received a chronic lifetime diagnosis of breast cancer, and that's
right.
the most advanced stage, which is stage four. So it's also the most underfunded section of all of breast cancer research, when it is the only breast cancer that kills. So we really believe that if we can treat metastatic breast cancer, we all win, right? We all win from the therapies that get developed for treating metastatic breast cancer. I'm one of them. Like the drug I was on, Herceptin, you know, wasn't released until the early 2000s. So when I was diagnosed in 2010, you know, women that were diagnosed in the 90s and the 80s with my type of breast cancer aren't alive today because they didn't have a medication that helped them, right? And that's really the reality, is we need these life-changing, earth-shattering drugs, so like everybody gets an opportunity to live longer with the people that they love.
Yeah, and I find that very disheartening when I hear you tell me, you know, because I'm still new to the world of breast cancer, and shame on me, but I think shame on a lot of us women that, you know, if it's not affecting us, we don't pay attention. And I think that's the status quo for a lot of people in society nowadays. It's like, well, that's not me, that's you, until it hits you. And so I am thankful to God that it was me he chose. I know that sounds crazy, but because of the podcast and because I do have, you know, a nice little following on my social media pages, I'm bringing awareness in my own way. So what I would love to do with you today is, if I could partner with your company, if I could, you know, have people check in with me and get to communicate with you guys or someone on a regular to keep me abreast on news, information, I definitely want to purchase some of the bras because I really need it. I would love to do all of that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you're absolutely right. Listen, I didn't know about any of this when I was diagnosed in 2010. You know, I had absolutely no reason to understand breast cancer, right? It just, it wasn't around, it wasn't affecting my friends. It wasn't affecting my family. It wasn't affecting the people I worked with. There's just, you know, it wasn't in my radar. And I think what's really amazing is that if we can educate each other and support each other with really positive and trusted information, then we as women, like a generation of women, we can really help make a difference, because we're trying to make a difference in so many places, right? We're trying to find equality, both in race and in gender. We're trying to find ways to, you know, make women's healthcare better, right? We're trying so hard to carry a weight of so many generations that I think it's really awesome that we can have a conversation like this, and you can learn. And hopefully, you know, people listening here can learn, and then, you know, we can all support each other, because that's the importance, and it's the only way that we win.
Oh, I absolutely, and I totally agree with you 100%. So I'm noticing on the website, and for those that we're now going to go to the caller. Oh, they called right back. Before I get into that, let's take this caller, Dana, and see, find out who they are calling from.
Hold on.
Awesome.
Baby, it's okay, baby. Come on, baby. Daddy,
hello.
You're going to be right back. How you?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. How y'all doing? It's Pastor Don Jr., CEO. How you doing?
Well, can you tell me your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm calling from sunny Chandler, Arizona. I'm actually just,
okay.
We just had a new addition to our family. We just had a baby. You know, and my daughter is 3 years old, and her sister is just beautiful. So I'm here, man. I was reaching out. I just got the text message from my interns, and they said, hey, I need to be on this radio show. And right when I called in, the nurse had walked in the room, so I had to call you right back.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show. So to catch you up to speed, you're sitting in with myself. My name is Ty Jones. The name of the show is Ty Jones, The Voice. And my guest today is Dana Danafree. And she owns the company, Dana Ono. And they are doing some amazing things for people with breast cancer. So what I'm going to ask of you is, if you do me a favor, the noise reduction has to be a part of this, because if not, I cannot continue to ask you questions or you ask questions to my
guests.
Gotcha. 100%. Okay, because I try to do a show that's super professional, and I can't deal with the noise. Not to say that I don't congratulate you for your new one. Okay. But since you are calling into the show, do you have any questions for my guest or for me?
I surely do.
Before we get.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very, very familiar with breast cancer. My granny, she beat stage 4 cancer, period. But what I want to ask is, a lot of times women of age, when I say of the ages of anywhere from 9 to 15, depending on how fast they develop, they don't get enough of the information systems until they get older, until it's like past the point. I'm asking this question, do you think with more prevention, will it be a easier fix, or is it a situation that we don't understand what it is until it happens?
Dana, I'm going to let you take that question.
Yeah, you know, I think, honestly, that's a great question, and thank you for calling in. And, and realizing this for the young women around you. I think that, you know, I've now been in this community for almost 10 years, and the reality is that we have to educate young women to be advocates for their own health. And we can't allow barriers to be in our way, that if we feel something or see something or have a change in our breath specifically that we alert a medical professional about, that we don't stop fighting until we have an answer. Because I know of many young women as young as high school that have gone to their doctors and have reported a problem with their breasts, either physically or, you know, either physically by feeling something or physically by seeing something. And the doctors have not proceeded to take them through the typical range of testing protocols because they, you know, believe they're probably too young and it's probably something else. And honestly, in most cases, it might be something else. But I think when those young women have strong parents, either a father or a mother that is there with them saying, we need to test this, or we need a biopsy, or we need a scan, we need to know that this is not breast cancer, it is 100% your right to get those answers. And you cannot stop. You have to prevail and constantly push for your own health and your own advocacy. And it's really, quite frankly, a shame that we do have to push so hard to get answers, because young women do get breast cancer.
Well,
yeah, and so let me just
feel about,
say, hold on one second.
How do you feel about
sir.
The stress factor? I do want to ask that just in case there's a lot of noise,
okay.
But on piggybacking off what you said, how
one
do
moment.
You feel about the stress actually adding
can,
in to
no,
the whole
you,
situation?
Can you one second, sir? She's going to answer your question, but let me just do a PSA real quick, and then I'll let you ask your question, okay? We one thing at a time. For all those that are just tuning in, my guest today is Dana Donofrio, and she has a host of information for all those that want some of the resources, a fit guide, information about Dana and the company Ana Ono. You can go to the website. This is for all women that are recovering from various forms of breast cancer and you want to purchase products like different bras. Go to anaono.com so you can pick up your bras, and free shipping on orders over $75 or more. I just subscribed, Dana, so I definitely will be shopping. All right, sir. That's the show. Ask your question, please, and sorry for that. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry to overtalk you, ma'am. It's just that I didn't want to have, because they was making announcements, I didn't want to get that feedback. But my question was, to piggyback off what you said, how do you feel the stress factor plays into cancer along with the actual healing factor? Because sometimes when you're overstressed, it's hard for your body to heal. At the same time, when the people get the mammograms and they get immediate, without not having the information and knowledge, they get an inertia of just negative energy because they don't know, and it's uneasy feeling of not knowing, and it creates stress, and stress is like the biggest killer of people we never talk about. But as far as cancer and stress is concerned, how do you feel like those two items correlate with each other?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really relevant question, and that is, you know, I think for me personally, I'm not a medical professional. I've just now been a patient for so long, but you know, we know that stress is a factor in our health. And, you know, I myself as a patient has been told that stress can present itself in many different ways, from headaches to stomach pain to cancer to chronic illness, right? Like, we know stress is absolutely, you're right, heart attacks and strokes, right? Stress is a huge factor on our health overall. And you know, there is a balance in our livelihood to say, if you're a young woman whose mother has had breast cancer, whose grandmother has had breast cancer, whose aunts have had breast cancer, whose, you know, grandmothers, sisters have had breast cancer, there is a stress factor to that, right? Because you're really nervous and afraid that that's going to be you. And, you know, there's an important piece to, again, taking your own health and advocating for yourself and receiving a genetic test. And I always encourage young people to have the genetic test if they do have a strong family history. And it's not because you have to immediately make radical decisions about your health, but you do get to arm yourself with information that can be life-saving. And when you go into a doctor and say you are 24 years old and you do have a genetic mutation, you can go to that doctor and you can complain about a pain in your chest or in your abdomen. And that doctor would say, okay, I see that you have a positive genetic result. And that doctor could then automatically prescribe you that next test in order to make sure everything's okay. And I think that that's a part of educating and empowering yourself with information while also, you know, trying to level how do you face this world knowing that maybe cancer runs in your family and that you could potentially receive a cancer diagnosis yourself. So I get it. I think stress is so huge. I'm a breast cancer patient for 10 years. Every morning I wake up, I think about my cancer. That is stress that I will live with for the rest of my life. And I also know that that's not healthy, right? So I have to find ways I have to deal with my own stress because that's really the only thing that I have that I can work on. Like somebody else can't work on my stress for me. Unfortunately, I don't live on a beach with flying seagulls over my head every day. I wish I did.
I think that's the majority of us. Like, not for nothing, prior to moving to Tacoma, Washington, I was living in Hawaii. And I miss that weather every damn day. I wish I could live there forever. But, you know, when you're a military wife, you got to go where your husband goes. So, unfortunately, I noticed this disease that we are dealing with, it's taken names and numbers, and it does not discriminate. And so for all those listening today on this podcast, I would encourage you because I wasn't diagnosed young. I just got my diagnosis at the age of 46. And at 45, because it was in the last year in October is when I had my very first ever mammogram. And I say that to say I was one of those people that just thought it would never happen to me. You know, it's not going to happen to me. My breasts are not that big. You know, that's a myth. And I did self-examinations and never felt anything, but it wasn't until I had the mammogram and they noticed some calcification buildup. And then, you know, they told me, we need for you to go and get some extra exams done, like a biopsy. So when I received the news, I was sitting in an office by myself with, you know, an oncologist and another doctor, and they gave me my diagnosis, and my first response was, okay, so what do we do next? And I think that's where my mindset is, even now, so, you know, it's not about, oh, woe is me, and don't get me wrong, I have my rough days, but you have to remain steadfast. When it comes to this disease that is not discriminating against an age, a woman. I even came across a man that I follow on Instagram. He goes by the name of Pumpkinhead for whatever reason. But I didn't ask for the pictures. Trust me, I didn't. But this man sent me photographs of, you know, the cuts that are sliced underneath the breast because that's how they do the vasectomy. But he had breast cancer. I didn't know men could get it. I was under the impression it was a woman thing. So this is not just a female disease, just for those that are listening.
Correct.
It really is not. Mm-hmm. You know, that is another
Amen.
Thing. Dana, would you expound on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the reality is that, you know, cancer doesn't discriminate and it doesn't care who you are, what your background is, what age you are, if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're non-binary, none of these things matter when it comes to cancer. And when it comes to breast cancer, I mean, I think that that's the unfortunate side of the awareness that has been delivered to us for the last 20 odd years is that all awareness campaigns really up until almost recently was delivered to you by a middle-aged white woman. And that really is dangerous for all of us, because we say, okay, if all we see are middle-aged white women on every billboard, every ad, every pamphlet, every everything, then breast cancer only happens to middle-aged white women.
Right.
And it doesn't. And that's and we've been underserved for too long.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Dana is a white woman, okay? Ladies and gents, she's a white woman. Dana, I just started following you on Instagram, and you're freaking gorgeous. I got your DM, and thank you for, you know, bigging up the show and all of the postings. But I'm glad you said that, because when I interviewed Jasmine and Marissa, now, Jasmine and Marissa, for all those that don't know, you can follow them on Instagram. They go by For the Breast of Us. That's F-O-R, For the Breast of Us. And these are two black women that created a nonprofit organization for women of color, whether you're Asian, Latino, or black, West Indian, African American, Guyanese, whatever country you're a woman of color. They have information for you, and they have an amazing website, and they created their organization due to the lack of the images that we see for women of color that are really afflicted with this disease, more so than some of our Caucasian women. I'm not to say that we're here to go tit for tat to divide us, but it's refreshing now. You brought it up, Dana, but now we're seeing more images of us when it comes to this disease.
I mean, I think it's so important. I have obviously the honor to get some stories told about both Ana Ono and myself throughout the media. And it wasn't too long ago, a few months ago, a writer from Bustle reached out to me and gave me a call and said, I'd really like to talk to you about your marketing. I'm doing a story, a series of story about women of color and cancer diagnoses. And she says to me that she goes, you are the only brand I have found that use women of color in their marketing. And
yeah, and
I wrote
what,
her back, and
Dana, even your images. Oh my God, girl! Like, I love your images, because it is all shapes and sizes of women. It's just not like your Cindy Crawford type women. You got women of all sizes sporting these bras and showing somewhat of their scars. Tell me about your selection of why you chose certain women you chose to be models for the website.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of exactly it. I never chose them, right? I never choose the women. No. I literally, people reach out to me, they tell me their stories, and they end up modeling in bras, right? Like, it takes a lot of courage for somebody to say, I'm going to take my clothes off and I'm going to show the world what I'm living with underneath my shirt. And
yes.
And it's just been interesting to me, because this isn't, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, we have such a large disparity. I mean, we actually know statistically that women of color are still dying at a more rapid rate than those of their white counterparts. And we know that this issue is complex, right? We know that there's disparities in healthcare. We know that there are differences in education and awareness. We know that there's differences in access to great healthcare, right? We know that there's actually some really tough hurdles for us to jump over. But when it comes to Ana Ono, it's so important to me that as I was meeting all of these different people, that none of us had a place. None of us really kind of belonged in the community, because, again, we weren't middle-aged white women. And
right.
I think that has a lot of way to go, because, you know, even when I had the conversation about women of color in my marketing, I became consciously aware that it seems like I was the only one doing it. But it wasn't because I was checking a box. You see what I'm saying? It was because
right.
cancer affects all of us. So naturally,
right.
I would have a friend of Asian descent, a friend of Hispanic descent, a friend of Middle Eastern descent, a friend of, you know, an African American or a black friend that had breast cancer, right? I I'm surrounded by people of all different walks of life. And I'm fortunate, right, that I get to meet and be friends and support and engage with all of these incredible people. And that's, like, mm-hmm. the biggest win for us is because I actually just met a woman that is Indian and Filipino. And she said to me, she goes, I really, really want to model for you because I never see someone like me that has breast cancer. And growing up and now being with my family and having, like, being the sick one in the family, it's important to know that other women like me can feel strong and can go out and can survive and can fight this disease. And that's just it, you know, like, we need to see ourselves, because when we see ourselves, like, that other, you know, West Indian Filipino woman that is too afraid to call the doctor because she doesn't have anybody around her that has breast cancer, she might see that one picture and say, wow, she looks just like me and she had breast cancer. Maybe this lump in my breast isn't just a lump in my breast. Maybe I should call the doctor. That could literally save somebody's life. And that's huge. And it's absolutely priceless on any level of humanity.
No, I agree with you. And I really love what you're saying, because it sounds like you just were very, very diligent with finding a way to make life normal for yourself, which just catapulted into the movement that you have with Ana Ono. And it seems like you're getting a lot of love, a lot of support. And the Instagram page, I really love your Ana Ono Instagram page, because who's ever managing it and who's ever posting for you is doing an amazing job, because I love the post. Like, sometimes I don't know what to say. You know, I just started my breast page. I have a big point on my Love Jones Ty page, but on my Miss_Ty Jones, that's my newest page. And, you know, I got maybe 1,200 followers. But I noticed that I sometimes don't want to talk out of place when it comes to dealing with. So I do post, but pulling from pages like you for the breast of us and others and reposting, it's actually like you guys are speaking what I'm feeling. You know what that mean? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And I have to give a shout out, like, the amazing, I feel like I have the most awesomest army of women who really truly believe in me, believe in Ana Ono, and believe in supporting those that are afflicted by breast cancer. Because you know, that love, that passion, that level of support comes out in everything that we do, you know. And I'm leading the charge as a patient myself, and I know how bad I felt, and I know the things that I felt in my heart, and I know that I felt left out and alone. And a lot of that comes from my heart and soul, but everybody on the team shares that and knows that, you know, we're out to help others, and that is, without fail, our number one goal.
Well, you're already hitting it on the nose. You're definitely hitting it on the nose, because when it comes to giving back in such an amazing way, you're definitely doing that. I'm even looking on your website as we speak, and I'm definitely going to get this Delilah Dream soft cut bra in black. And I'm using my promo code. But, oh, my God, like, I didn't even know bras like this existed. I thought we were just have to be subjected to, you know, buying just regular bras, because I was about to just go shopping at the PX. You know, for some regular bras, but now I'm definitely just going to buy bras from you guys, because you have some really nice ones. So tell me about the Ana Ono and the movement with the bras and that type of thing. How did this come about, and who are you partnering with to get these bras? What's the deal with that?
Well, the difference was, I think I've been a fashion designer my whole life. So I studied fashion design at Savannah College of Art and Design. I went to New York City. I worked in high fashion, worked for incredible different companies and labels. And I had a background in this space, and it was really, like, you know, fashion is my passion. It's no joke. It's straight up for real.
Ah, and yeah. I like it. You need to make a shirt now that says fashion.
That
is so,
it's
cool.
So funny,
and no, and yet, don't get me wrong, it's not a cliche, because you know what, I'm a makeup artist by trade, so prior to all this craziness happening, I was working for MAC as a makeup artist. So totally keep going, sister, because I'm feeling what you're saying. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, you know, I got lucky. I was somebody that found, you know, I found what I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to do for the rest of my life very early on in my career. And I'm so gracious and thankful for that. But I think that, you know, what happened, because I was a young person with that got diagnosed with breast cancer, I underwent a mastectomy with reconstruction. I knew how to make clothing. I quickly realized and identified how my body was so different after the surgery. And I felt like I just had gotten like catapulted into this world that was built for my grandma. And when I went to the mastectomy store to try on my first bras after many failed attempts before that, kind of as my last resort, and I, you know, got ushered into the back fitting room that was painted pink and, you know, got delivered kind of the armful of like beige mastectomy bras, I just like, that was my last, like cutting, like that was the last cut in my skin that I could handle. I just felt like at that moment was the moment that really truly defined the fact that I was now something different, that I was now less than a woman, that I was broken, that I wasn't going to be able to put the pieces back together because, you know, here I was scarred, bruised, nippleless. I was all of these things, and this was my option to feel beautiful, was a beige grandma bra. Like, that was my option.
Yeah, trust me.
That's all I had left.
I'm sorry to chuckle, but I totally get it, because this, you know how they say us women, certain women, we have a way where we can emasculate a man. I think with breast cancer, it definitely will remove certain confidence and lessen your, you know, your confidence in oneself to look at yourself in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't
totally think
people understand that, you know, I love that she said that. I really do. I'm so happy that you're being very transparent to share that with listeners, because there's a woman out here today, tonight, wherever part of the America you're in, that needed to hear what you just said, you know, that needed to know that there's a company such as yours. Because not for nothing, me, myself, I felt somewhat like, okay, what do I do now? Like, my regular bras, they hurt, they're uncomfortable, they cut into the skin in a way where, you know, when your breasts are still swollen and tender from healing, you don't want an uncomfortable bra on. You know, that's the least thing that you want. So tell me about some of the, like, I noticed the bras. You have mastectomy surgery must-haves, breast reconstructive bras, radiation therapy bras. Who was the genius behind the various types of bras to get?
Well, I think the reality is that every surgery yields a different result. And all of our surgeries are different. Everybody has a different outcome. You know, not everybody, like you said, you chose a mastectomy over getting radiation therapy, right? I had a similar choice at the time. It wasn't my best choice. That's why I didn't take it. But, you know, a lot of women sit there and say, okay, well, I can save my breast, but I could undergo radiation therapy. And
right.
If they have radiation, their skin might be burned. They might be really sensitive. But honestly, the biggest complaint that we address by breast cancer patients is that after the radiation therapy, years after the radiation therapy, maybe two, maybe five, maybe 8 years after radiation, their breast has continued to shrink over time. And although the radiation therapy didn't really cause them that much trouble, now they are years out and they can be a cup size different from side to side, maybe even two cup sizes different from side to side. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is they're kind of sitting here going, I was wearing regular bras for years, and now all of a sudden my breast is shrinking. And I have I can't wear my old bra because I'm a cup size. I've got these gapping. I'm stuffing the inside of the bra just so I fill it out. What am I supposed to do now? And I think that that's really interesting is that, you know, a lot of these issues have long-term effects. All of these treatments, all of these surgeries, they're not just it's just not a moment. So that's why we kind of say we have bras from, you know, the moment you're diagnosed, through your surgery, through your radiation treatment, but also into your life beyond. Because it's not just about your cancer moment. It's about feeling good about your body for as long as you have, right? As long as you can and as long as you, you know, want to feel comfortable. So it might be, you know, there might be certain bras that are only used during certain phases, but we have a bra for every single phase that you encounter as you go, you know, you go and embark on this life pre and post cancer.
Yeah, and I'm loving it because I also noticed, thank you, Dana, for that, that you have this one. So there's two that I already have my eye on that I have to have. The Gloria Pocketed Wire-Free Bra. I love I think she's adorable. And I love the images. Like, I love the woman with the silver hair, you know, who is smiling from ear to ear. And she just looks very sexy and confident and happy with her bra. I like this bra. I definitely like, I like lacy type bras and dainty looking bras. So this one is definitely a must have. I like that one. And then,
I always see that's like your celebration bra, like your pop the champagne bra, right? Like, I feel good.
Definitely.
Let's celebrate today. Yeah.
Yes. And even the, you know, the bras for the mastectomy surgery must have. I wish I would have known about this prior to, you know, having the mastectomy, because right now, you know, I'm really confined to the two bras that my plastic surgeon gave me, because, you know, it's a restriction on my other bras, my prostitute now, you know, I'm definitely not a beef anymore. I'm kind of like that almost because of the implants. It's an adjustment. It's definitely an adjustment.
Yeah.
But he did mention that, you know, Ty, they're somewhat swollen right now. And, you know, once they come down somewhat, you may be left with, like, you know, a full C cup is what he mentioned,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hear you say, you know, due to radiation and some that are shrinking, I'm like, oh, my God, am I going to have to deal with my breasts shrinking? But these are implants, so hopefully not.
Right.
But the good thing that I did find out from him was because it was breast cancer, I can go back, you know, in 6 months or a year if I want them larger, and it would be no cost, it would be covered. I could go and get them larger in the event something happens, you know. So that is a good thing to know, that because it's a breast cancer-related situation, I don't have to, like, rack my brain about, oh, my God, how am I upkeeping this after this surgery?
Right.
Because, you know, I think that's a fear, because this, in our mind, we were always told that that's cosmetic, but now because it's cancer-related, that's how I'm saved. So, with that said, what do you see, or how do you foresee Ano Ono going forward in 2020? What's to come for you guys? And do you have anything that you'd like to share with our listeners? Any events coming up? Anything with the website happening? You guys going to be having a pop-up shop? Like, what's the deal?
Well, you know, I feel incredibly fortunate that I have such great support from the community, and that we're able to help so many patients get through this. And
And knowing that we're just always putting ourselves out there, trying to push the envelope, trying to change the conversation, trying to open new doors to new conversations. There's still a lot that's being brushed under the rug that we have to continuously bring to the surface and shine a light on. But, you know, we've got awesome new sexier styles coming out in October. So we're really excited about that, as well as sports bras, because we know sports bras can be a little tricky after reconstruction and want women to feel mm-hmm. positive in their body so they can go out and get fit and stay healthy. And then also, as you had mentioned earlier, when we were chatting, the New York Fashion Week that we do in partnership with Project Cancerland and Medivivor. We've been able to raise over $250,000 for metastatic breast cancer research. Every single one of those pennies has gone to funding a research scientist to develop new drugs for the disease. And we hope to continue to push that that surge forward and continue to support, you know, the community in ways that we can. And just if you're able and willing, join our movement on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're at Anna Ono Intimates on all three channels. And really, by following us and sharing content, you really don't know whose life you can affect. I mean, there might be somebody, one of your best friends or your sisters or your colleagues, that is thinking about calling the doctor or making an appointment or scheduling that mammogram that they were too afraid to schedule. But, you know, really getting something that empowers them to make good health decisions could really affect an outcome, you know, that needs to be caught early. And you know, I think that's really the support here is by sharing and being supportive of each other, we can really support everybody.
Yeah, that's wonderful to know. Now, Dana, where are you located? Are you based out in Philly?
We are in Philly.
Philadelphia is our headquarters. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of myths about Philly. Now, you know, one of my all-time favorite songstress goddesses, Miss Jill Scott herself, is from Philly. So I love
amazing woman.
It. So how is it in Philly? What's Philly like? And I'm from the Bronx, so you know I'm from a city. But how's Philly?
You know, I give you, you know, I would probably, people probably won't be happy, but, you know, I feel like Philly is, I was a New Yorker for a long time. Philly is like the Bronx / Brooklyn before Brooklyn, Queens, and Bronx got kind of completely outrageous.
Yeah.
But, you know, Philadelphia for me is a center of and a crossroads of culture, of the arts, of people, of mankind. I feel like we are a city truly, truly of brotherly love. You know, that it's one of those things when we need to come together to support one another, we will. And, you know, it's we got a lot of hard life people here. You know, we've got middle class and we got people trying to wake up and make money for their kids and, you know, make the world a better place. And, you know, we've got people that are out there doing it and making beautiful music. I mean, the musicians that have come out of Philadelphia to me are just incredible people. And I think it's because they've been able to draw on such amazing life experiences. You know, it's got a special place in my heart. I've been here now for almost 10 years and this is what I call home.
Wow. I like that. Does it get very, very cold in the winter?
Yeah, you know, we get some of those nasty East Coast ice storms, which are never fun when you live in a city where you walk everywhere.
Ooh, God, and that's when I have to be like, okay, guys, you know what? I wish I could. I can. It's too
but
cold.
I can't. I wish I could, but I can't.
So that, and how have you been so successful with accomplishing the partnering with Fashion Week? How did that come about?
You know, it was my dear late friend, Champagne Joy, really had a pulse on this world that very few people have. And I am honored that I get to call her my friend, and I miss her every single day of my life. But she knew that the conversation needed to change around the disease.
And she saw the I kind of call it the pink ribbon spiral, you know, where we were just tying pink ribbons around our eyes in order not to see the reality or the truth of what the disease was doing to, you know, men and women. And we got together, and she got this opportunity to do a fundraiser for Cancerland at New York Fashion Week. And she came to me and she said, Dana, do you want to do this with me? Do you want to put Anna Ono on the runway at New York Fashion Week? And the first thing I said to her, I said, champagne, I love this idea, but, you know, like, Anna Ono is not a fashion brand. Like, we're really helping women get through their cancer diagnosis and feel beautiful and empowered. She goes, yeah, exactly. And I said,
Right. Okay,
let's do it, you know. And I think our first show in 2017 was just really, really earth-shattering, because I knew that if I was going to do it, that we needed to show the world what breast cancer really looked like. And breast cancer looked like a lot of things. It looked like women that were missing their breasts. It looked like people that don't associate to the woman gender and are non-binary. It looked like people walking with breasts that have no nipples. You know, that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really amazed that when I met people like Erica Hart, who is an amazing, incredible advocate and activist for the LGBTQ plus community, and a woman of color herself, and not seeing herself represented, and having a mother who died of breast cancer, and, you know, her herself getting diagnosed and having a mastectomy, and, you know, she had just posted her picture at AfroPunk, and she didn't have any nipples. And I asked her, I said, hey, Erica, would you be in the show? Because I think the world really needs to see this. And she said, wow. Yes. And we became fast friends. And you know, I mean, to just have the guts to get on a runway and with nothing but a pair of underwear to show the world what your body looks like is just completely outrageous. And Vaughn,
that's,
my friend,
that's
who
brave as hell. That's like, that's
so
very
brave.
Wow. Like,
there's a reason why I'm not on the runway. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes some guts.
I mean,
like, it takes
not for nothing. That I'm like at wow, because I think when a woman can, you know, when you can fully embrace your curves, your folds, every aspect.
Yep.
You know, now with recovering, and you can, I'm sure, agree with me, but with the scars that I have, you know, like these, they're healing, but there's going to be the scars from being cut open three times in one breath, and the draining bulbs that were inside of me had to get pulled out, and I've got, you know, these weird scars under my boobs and sides of my, you know, near my ribs, and it is disheartening. Like, you know, and then I looked down at my knee, and I had total knee replacement surgery back in September of 2018. So it's like, I think I chuckled, and I was praying to God the other night. I said, man, God, it's like, I'm just a rag doll. Like, you just got me open and back up, and I just got to live with it. You know what I mean?
Well, what often lies underneath is imperfection, right? And that's no matter what you've been through. But I think specifically breast cancer is such a physical disease, right? We literally are sliced and diced and put back together. And when we don't talk about that, when we prefer to turn our head the other direction and not address the imperfections that we're all dealing with, or the aftermath of these surgeries, It's what has not allowed us to really progress the conversation around the disease, because everything we see is somebody jumping up and down with a smile on their face. And that's not what we feel inside as patients, right? I feel absolutely happy and blessed that I am here, but it doesn't make me want to jump up and down and, you know, twirl around my pink feather boa. It wants me to show the world what we've been through. And I think that's kind of the shift and the change that we've been able to achieve in the last few years.
Yeah, and you know, that's an amazing, it's an amazing achievement, and it's amazing leaps and bounds that you're doing. And I'm 100% sure you're getting lots of support and love from many people nowadays that you would just have to be. So I'm pretty sure. How are you receiving all of the attention and the love that you are getting?
Well, you know, for me, I'm a self-proclaimed workaholic and a perfectionist, and I know that there's so much work that needs to be done and that can be done, and I feel a weight and a responsibility to always push forward for that, and I think that you know, as I can hopefully continue to change the conversations, but you know, getting these opportunities and using them for others, right? Using them for great organizations and nonprofits, like For the Breast of Us, helping to help give them a voice and raise them up so women can find them that need their level of support. There's communities out there after surgeries, you know, women that lose their implants because their bodies, you know, are having reactions to the implants and the surgeries aren't going well, and they now are left breastless and, you know, living with flat bodies. There's the women that are choosing to live with flat bodies or with just one boob. And I think what's really important is that, you know, every design, I think about all of these different body types. And, you know, recently it dawned on me the other day that, like, at Ana Ono, we're totally boob inclusive, right? Like, I don't really care if you have two breasts or one breast or no breasts at all, because I know that your breasts don't define you. Like, your heart defines you. And if you want to feel comfortable and you want to feel beautiful and you want to feel sexy, like, God damn it, you should have a right to do so. And I truly believe in that. And running a business is tough. I don't, you know, there are many sleepless nights because of the stress of running a business, or the pressure of running a business. You know, that this is not easy. It's actually probably one of the toughest things I've ever done in my entire life. But I know I'm here for a reason, and I feel like my reason and my purpose is this. And that's why I just keep, you know, pushing through all the challenge and all the difficulties and the pressure in order to try to make the world, you know, a better place in the ways that I can.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I like that you that you're saying that. So, Dana, for any person listening tonight, if you had one piece of advice to give them, or, you know, what advice would you give those that maybe they live in Idaho or Wichita, Kansas, or somewhere where they're not so, you know, close to a major metropolitan city, how would they have access to certain things that they may feel like they're not getting when it comes to information? What would you tell them?
You know, I think that that's a great question, because we are very fortunate, arguably, that we live in a digital age now where we have access to a lot of different people and different things. I mean, even when I was diagnosed in 2010 out in Denver, Colorado, I did not meet a single person that was even remotely close to my age, right? I felt very, very isolated. I felt very alone. My friends were super supportive and there for me, but they didn't understand what I was going through. And it was really hard for me. I didn't find my tribe. I was all alone facing major life decisions, major medical issues all by myself. And I think what that person in the middle of nowhere that doesn't have access to a community of support, like, I always encourage you to go and try to find it in the ways that you feel comfortable. If that's, like, you know, a close, if it's Facebook, if it's Instagram, if you're not on social media, find an organization like Living Beyond Breast Cancer that can connect you to people that are close to your area, or give you a blog to read, or provide you information, because facing this alone is just not worth it. It's not about being prideful and saying that I can do this on my own, I don't need anybody, that is wrong. You need everybody, and you need the love, and you need the support, and you need the encouragement to beat this, because doing something like this on your own is, it's just too tough. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say, I need your help right now because I'm not in a good place. And it doesn't mean you're weak, and it doesn't mean you're not strong, and it doesn't mean that you're going to fail. It just means that you need something more, like, in this moment. And I was too proud. I was too proud to ask for the help, right? I was too proud. I thought I was young. I thought I could do it. I thought I was strong. And once I met my tribe, I realized how much I had been suffering, all out of spite and all out of pride, because I felt like that was going to be a sign of weakness if I broke down and said I needed help. And I think that that's like the biggest lesson that I learned personally that I love to share with others, is that I think we as women, for most part, you know, the women that are diagnosed, it's really hard for us to ask for people's help when we're dealing with shit in our lives. Like, it's really hard. Yeah. And I don't know why. I don't know why we're raised this way. I don't know why we're made this way, but we are. And, you know, and we got to find each other. We got to support each other.
No, I agree, because I actually understand what you're saying, because when I got the diagnosis, I have to admit, my first feeling was embarrassed. Like, I felt embarrassed. I felt like...
like, what did I do wrong? Yeah.
Right. And then also, I think I did not want to tell anyone at first. And then, you know, my husband at the time, he knew, but he was definitely not supportive. I had to do everything by myself, you know, including the surgeries, including recovery, including dealing with, you know, the oncologist and the breast plastic surgeon. So it can be an empowering journey if you allow yourself to embrace what you have and fight the good fight. But support is definitely needed. And so I agree with you. With the beauty of technology and social media, this is how I've been getting my support. Like, I more so get a lot of support through ladies like yourself, other women that I've come across on my Instagram page that are reaching out to me, you know, sending me DMs. We exchange numbers. They call a check on me. And that's something I need, because honestly, I'm not getting it from a lot of family members, so, which is disheartening, but you get it where you get it, and that's God's blessing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
and
let's wrap this
up. Cancer affects everybody differently. It affects the people around you differently. You know, I mean, you kind of brought up a great point. Like, you know, not everybody has a supportive family or a supportive lover.
Yep.
Or somebody close to them. Like, that's the reality. And cancer affects everybody differently. And you don't know who's going to run away, and you don't know who's going to show up.
But you definitely will know who your friends are when you get hit with stuff like this. This is the test to say, is that husband, is that boyfriend, is that girlfriend, is those friends, are they sticking around? Because honestly, I have a really clean house, and my phone on social media due to this. Trust me, I really know in my corner. Can you relate to that yourself?
Oh, man, I tell everybody cancer was probably the biggest cleanser of my lifetime. You know, it helped me very, very consciously weed out the bad and weed out the people or the things in my life that were toxic. I don't know if you really realize what's toxic until you kind of have to look at things like that and decide, you know, make decisions for yourself and really say, like, now it's my time. This is me time right now. And you're not good for me. And I'm recognizing that, you know, it's hard. It's hard because, like, you don't expect to have to go through those things when you're facing a cancer diagnosis. Like, that's the last thing that you think you're going to have to go through.
Honey, you know what, Dan? I have to totally, 100% I know where you're coming from because I myself, in the very beginning, when I was dealing with certain members of whether they be family or you know, if it was a friend or an associate, I call them, because some people don't get the title friend. But anyway, it was in the beginning, it was like my brain was like, okay, is that person still coming at me in that way? And why? And at first it was like me feeling guilty. And then secondly, once things, my treatment started getting super serious, and then when the date kept approaching for mastectomy time, I had so much on my plate with my own personal issues that I just quickly started deleting, eliminating certain people that just were no good to me. You know, whether the, and I know what toxicity feels like. I've experienced it for so many years in family that it just was so normalized that you condone people's bad behavior to the point where you're like, you're making excuses for them. And that is not fair. It's not fair. It's not right. So for all those listening tonight, you must do one thing, and that is self-preservation. When you are catching hell in your life and you are fighting a deadly disease, you deserve to be selfish. You deserve to have that
right.
Bubble bath self, or me time, tea time, wine time, cry time. You know, if you don't get out of the bed all day, that's your business, you know.
Right.
It is very necessary, ladies and gents, to take care of your mental health while you are going through this situation. Dana, would you like to say something about that as far as mental health and breast cancer?
I mean, I can prescribe to just about all those things you just said, so check me off for one of each of those, please. But it's right. Like, you got to take care of your head. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't in the place where I took care of my head. I just, you know, I thought I could do it on my own, and I realized that that wasn't healthy. And, you know, it's, I think that unfortunately something like this is really truly such a personal journey, right? It's like, it's not just the cancer. It's like so much of like who you are and how you react and what you do when you're in stressful situations, what you do, you know, when you're faced with all of this adversity in your life, and you're just like, if anything, like, I definitely know, like, I was 100% like on track to be like a total asshole, like total. Like, I was in high fashion. I was running and doing the hustle and bustle of New York City. I didn't have time for anybody's shit. Like, I was just like, all I saw was my own success, and all I wanted was my own success. And I was just running so hard at that goal. And like, cancer really like threw the brakes on me, you know, like, it really, like, I went to a screeching halt, and I drove my 100 mile in an hour car into the brick wall, you know, like, that's what happened.
Ooh,
to me.
What?
And
wait a minute, slow down.
I didn't literally, not literally, but like, you know, the,
okay,
car, like, the ride I was on, like, I just went boom, you know, not literally,
okay.
But you know, like, that was like, that was my experience. Cause I was just like, go, 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 go. You know, get out of my way, go. And like, cancer said, you know what? Like, that's not the person you're supposed to be. That's not what you're supposed to do right now. Like, you're supposed to, like, be a better person and do better things. And I just, like, I felt like it was just, like, a major, super harsh reality check in my life. And not that I still don't ride my, you know, 100-mile-an-hour car, like, you know, like, in my mind, because I'm like, go, 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 go. But I go, go, go in different ways, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, I totally understand what you're talking about, because when I lived in New York, I was like, it was right after college, so I was probably like 21, and I was one of those that I was a workaholic. I had like 4 jobs, or probably 5 jobs.
Yeah.
And I was.
Yeah, exactly.
I was moving, promoting parties and nightclubs. I was freelance modeling. I was working at High Times magazine. I was dating a musician, so I was booking him and styling him.
And then I was working at two different recording studios in Soho. So, and how did I manage all that? I managed it really well and did all my thing. But, you know, when you're young and free and creative, all that stuff is fun work to me. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I definitely
right.
can repeat what you're saying, because when you are loving what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work. It really doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
feel like work. And so if you are accepting interns or people want to get down with your company, is that possible?
Always. Always. We are always looking for strong, empowered people that like really want to help and be a part of this movement. I think, you know, I feel I actually like one of the best things I feel really proud of is like really being there to like influence and inspire like the young generation of women coming up behind us, because, you know, your age, my age, like we still were brought up in a world that men got to dominate. And we've been fighting, right, tooth and nail to break through those glass ceilings, right? We're still fighting. Like, I really, truly have to believe that all of this hard work is going to pave the way for my nieces and nephews that aren't going to have to battle these battles, right? I'm hoping that we can achieve and, like, narrow the gap to, like, actually be equal, like, in our lifetime. I really, really hope and believe that we can achieve that. And so, you know, when you get to have interns of young people that like really want to have purpose in their life and do something special, I feel like that's like such a rewarding experience for me to help give some of what I've given so much of and instill that in our younger generation.
So I like that you say that. So let's say if somebody wanted to, how would they go about, like, to get work with you guys, an intern? Do they go to the website? Do they, you know, how do they go about asking for this type of information?
Yeah, I mean, most people that, you know, end up reaching out to us, they, you know, we get emails, you know, I get emails from people from the website, our contact us page, so at AnnaOno.com. We also, you know, we're always online on our Facebook and Instagram DMs. But, you know, we've got, and then too, it could be events. You know, if you're in New York City and you want to volunteer for New York Fashion Week to support metastatic breast cancer, that's an amazing opportunity.
Okay, Damon, like, you know what? I got to jump in on that. You got to have me, when you do the next one, I would love to participate. I would love to participate and help out. And also, if you need, like, another makeup artist on hand, please let's keep in touch, like, if it comes up, like, you guys do it, because I think Fashion Week already passed. But if you guys have another thing coming up, I would not mind flying to New York to participate, because I love staying active. So please keep me posted.
Well, you know what, that brings up a great point, because we actually, on our Anna Ono Instagram page, we have a link in our link tree that you can fill out the model application to participate in our fashion shows, our photo shoots, because all we do in all of our, you know, marketing and storytelling is show people with breast that have been affected by breast cancer. So it could be a preventative mastectomy, it could be a lumpectomy, it could be reconstructive surgery, it could be no breasts at all. Like, we really, truly are always looking for incredible people to help us tell the story. So I really encourage you out there, if you have been affected by breast cancer, you go in, fill out that form, because you never know. We can do photo shoots in Texas. We're doing a fashion show and it's, you know, in Southern Illinois University this weekend. We're doing, you know, we do stuff all across the United States, so we always have opportunities that, you know, not everybody can afford to go and fly somewhere. So we you know, we're always doing pop-up events and doing other things, and those are the people we reach to.
Okay, so I guess what I need to do is
I need to just go to Ana Ono and click the link so I can register. Is that it?
Yeah, so on the Ana Ono Instagram page. So it's Ana Ono Intimates. And then, you know, obviously I get your form to you, but for those that are listening,
okay.
You know, that don't know how to find it, but that's where you find it.
All right, well, yeah. However I got to do it, like, I even want to become a model.
Love it.
For sure.
Love it.
I just posted, and trust me, at first I was a little bit weary, but I had on this pretty lacy black bra that I wore one day, and I took a photograph, and I kind of cropped it, so it's just, you know, kind of the cleavage and the breast and the bra. And I was like, oh, my God, are people going to think I'm like a thot or slutty? But I posted it, you know. I'm not ready to show my
boobs
freely, you know, but I posted the picture. And I was getting all these major reactions from people. Like, of course, men are gawking, but women were like, you go and you go. And I was like, okay, I guess I did something right, you know. So. it was freeing. I have to admit,
yeah.
It was freeing. It was, I don't know, I felt empowered, and I would not take it back for doing it. I really won't. So
I love that. I love that.
You know, like, I don't know. It's one of these things where you just got to get in it it's like, okay, like Nike says, just do it. Like, stop being fearful of, you know, we're living in a day and age with social media that it's like, oh, my God, every little thing offends a person. You know, you can't say anything nowadays without offending somebody to the point where it's like, you know what? Oh, my fucking God. Like, I am not going to feel overly thoughtful about my thoughts and opinions because I never was one of those. And guess what? The trolls are going to troll, and social media people do not hold back from how they respond. So fuck it. You know, Cat Williams always said, if I got 15 haters, I need 25 more, because it's like I'm doing something right if your asses is following me all day. You know, I'm definitely not putting that to a lot of people. I'm still a bit narcissistic when it comes to social media. I go straight to my pages. I post. I take a look at who all is liking my stuff. And then if my followers have increased, and I'll look, you know, I look at a few people that I follow to like their posts and make sure I show them love. But then that's it. Now get the hell off, you know? What about you? How do you manage?
It's so funny that you bring this up, because I do think that this world of social media applies a different level of pressure to everybody. But, you know, it was interesting. I had I was one of the first, not the first woman, but there were several of us that all kind of got published at the same time with our mastectomy tattoos a long time ago. And I had undergone a mastectomy tattoo. I have a tree of life around my body, around my torso, because for me, nipple tattooing was like not my thing. I just didn't think it would, whatever, like, why would I do it? It didn't make any sense to me. And I thought to myself, if I could tattoo a nipple, I should be able to tattoo whatever I want, right? Like, why does it have to be a nipple? Why can't it be a flower? Why can't it be a tree? Why can't it be a rose? I don't know, right? I didn't know what I wanted, but I knew I didn't want a nipple. And so I got published in a few major outlets with these mastectomy tattoos, because nobody was really seeing this at this point. And now they're a really, really huge thing. But when I tell you, my associate that was helping me at the time sends me a text message, and she says, Dana, the article's great. It went live. She goes, whatever you do, don't read the comments. And I thought to myself, well, what is she talking about? Why not read the comments? And when I tell you that people were so nasty and so disgusting about how I've survived breast cancer, why would I mutilate my body like this? And, you know, don't you know that tattoos give you cancer? And, you know, oh, you're such a beautiful person and you just ruined it because you have tattoos on your body. I was just, I mean, it was like comment after comment after comment. And I said to myself, wow, they don't get it. Like, they don't get it at all. But I'll tell you what, from that moment on, I never read the comments ever again, because the trolls will troll and you have no control over them. And you have, you know, like, if people are in a bad place in their hearts and in their minds, they're going to put that out into the world. And I really, I have no space to absorb it. I really have little interest.
No, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, because I know the feeling. Like, I know the feeling, and I've been through situations where I had to stop looking. And it's more so on Facebook than it is Instagram, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is about Facebook, but you know, there's a lot of people that
she's not here.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that they don't have nothing but time on their hands to go and be negative and don't care. And you know what? It wasn't like that. This is a slow progression with social media being so nasty and unfiltered. But the funny part is this. They don't like when you clap back. And it's like, yo, guess what? That's every action is a reaction, my nigga. So guess what? When you come for me, that Cardi B side of me is coming out in such a Claire Huxtable type of way, where I'm checking you like a Claire Huxtable would check Bill.
Hey, listen, we all need a little Cardi B in us. We all need a little Cardi B.
I have it. Like, I know. And you know what's so funny? My ex, that's what he used to call me, because it's like, and it didn't happen, but if you push that panic button and you do something that's just going to piss me off to the point where I know you're in the wrong and you're coming at me in a certain tone, I'm going to go off. And it's just because my blood boils for negative people, because I have not a negative bone in my body. I wake up every morning refreshed, just like that Jill Scott song, you know, wake up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you understand where I'm coming from. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm so sorry that you even had to deal with that type of ignorance, and people will talk on subjects they know nothing about, you know?
And
you get what I'm saying?
Oh, man. I mean, and it doesn't transcend. I mean, I think some of the original articles that came out about the lingerie line, you know, people were, you know, writing comments, these women have breast cancer. You know, if they don't need to wear a bra, why do they want to? Or why do they need one? And, you know, you just sit there and you're like, I can't even explain these things in life to you. Like, it's not even worth explaining, because you haven't walked in those shoes. You haven't felt like what it feels like to have your breast amputated from your body. You don't know that feeling. Yeah. How dare you say something like that? And I think that that's just what's wrong with us, is like, rather than saying, wow, these people are facing a tough time, you know, somebody wants to sit there and write a comment like that. For me, it's one of those times, I think, in our lives where, like, we have so much opportunity to help each other and support one another and make a change in the world. But we also have, unfortunately, the flip side of that, right, where there's almost more areas to breed hate than what there's ever been before. And that's the unfortunate side. We can do a lot of good, but in goodness, there's always destruction and bad. And, you know, I think it's a very weird and complex time to be, like, living in humanity right now, because it's so many things are so strong and so positive, yet so many things are still so ugly.
Yes, I agree. And also, you got to be careful nowadays, because I was watching this, and I say that to say this, I was watching a documentary, Paris Hilton and a few others that are on this documentary on, you know, talking about the social media craze and, you know, how they blew up on YouTube and Instagram and how much money they're making to post, because that's the name of the game nowadays, people, is going viral.
Right.
And getting paid to post on your YouTube and all these others. And so she went to say that her and this Jewish dude, I forget his name, he's like, I don't know, fat bastard, whatever it is. He's a Jewish dude that wears like the little kufi on top of his head, and he's like super, super over the top with his like exploiting himself, acting crazy, doing all these crazy antics. And the two of them got together and they do stuff called fake news. And
right.
I think some people fail to realize you can't believe everything that you see on an Instagram post or a Facebook post. Like, do your due diligence to study, stupid. Like, I don't know about
right.
anyone else, but when I was attending literature classes in high school and even in college, because my concentration was communications, we discussed these things in class of propaganda and things that the media and the news, it wasn't even social media back then in the 90s. It was just
right.
be mindful of the authors that you read, the book authors you read, the newspapers you read, you know what I mean. There's like, come on.
Oh,
fake
yeah.
news. Case in point, The Inquirer. If you're reading The Inquirer and believing half of the shit that's in there, what is going on in your mind? You know what I mean? Like, that was
totally.
A newspaper one. I read that for entertainment. You know what I mean? Come on. It's a sad, sad world we're living in, but it's also a beautiful place to be when you have to walk in a fullness of light and love. And understand that every day does not have to be cloudy and gray. And if you're feeling that way, people,
right.
I'm here to say, go get you some help. Go to your doctor. Let them know how you're feeling. Tell them if you are feeling a certain way so they can give you a diagnosis. Ask about behavioral health. Get you a therapist. I have a therapist. I see this person once a week, and she comes to see me, and we have therapy, and I am on an antidepressant as well as, you know,
right.
the stuff that I use. And guess what? I'm not afraid and ashamed to say that. I am so happy
right.
that back in December, I took that step, because you know what? I have been dealing with issues of sadness for years,
yeah,
because of my mother committing suicide. You know, when I was 18, my mom committed suicide. I've been through so many other traumatic things in life, and it's to the point where I had tough skin. I would just suck it up, give it to God, give it to God, go to church, give it to God, you know, drink to forget, sex to forget. You know what I'm saying? And
you have
stop doing that to yourself, people. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that that's the reality, and I think that that's another important conversation that's being opened up, you know, because of social media, where people are talking out about these, you know, depressive issues. Because I think, you know, for especially, you know, if you have already had a mental illness or a depressive issue or anxiety before a cancer diagnosis,
yeah,
it's only going to continue to tumble down and get worse. And
yeah.
so much of that has to do with how you face, you know, what's in front of you. And when that turns into a cancer diagnosis, I mean, I always felt like I was strong and I was never depressed, and I didn't realize that my stress was actually a form of anxiety. And, you know, I didn't get to all of that until my cancer diagnosis. And now, like, I praise therapy. I think therapy is amazing, you know, because I get to say things to my therapist that I hide deep down in my heart, because I'm afraid nobody else around me can hear it. And nor do I want them to have to carry that baggage with me. And I think that
yes.
sometimes verbalizing
yes.
things you know, just allows you to let some of it go.
And honestly, you just hit it on the head when you said you don't want them carrying your baggage. And that is the key to when you yourself, people, can be so coherent that you know, I got something going on. I need to cut it out. I'm affecting people around me. It's the person that is walking around with the mentality of woe is me, it's your fault, I'm okay, I want to act out, I'm going to, you know, fuck you up or wreck the house or get too drunk or curse you out. And that's when you got to look at somebody and say, hey, I didn't sign up for all of this. I love you,
right,
but you're not going to put me in a guilt trip when you wild out. I'm supposed to just be okay with it, and I'm getting abused. That's not cool. It's really
right.
not.
Right.
So I say all that to say, and I think Dana says it too, go get some help, honey. It's cool to have a therapist, okay? It's very cool.
It is cool.
Hey, it's cool to be in therapy nowadays, people. Everybody and their mother is doing it. Is doing it. It's not just for old people. It's not just for white people. It's not just for crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
It's for anyone that has a heart that wants to say, I love myself and I got to do something to better myself.
Yep. Absolutely.
Dana, I want to thank you for being on the show today. And let's do this again. And this is what I want to offer you. I would love to have you as a reoccurring guest when you can. I definitely want you to come back next month for breast cancer awareness. And if you're too busy, if you have, you know, another person that you want to represent the company, they can come back so we can have some insight on what's going on with Ana Ono and just giving people some tidbits about the bras and the movement so that way you guys can be a segment on my show. That's one. And then I would just love to have you as a reoccurring guest because I love our chemistry and I just think you are kick-ass and you just got some great things that you just a very – you're like a rock star, and I just like your attitude and your take. So I'm extending that, and I hope that, you know, we can, not to put you on the spot because you're on the show, but if you can consider that and, you know, get back to me via email if you'd like, I would love to make this happen.
Oh, man, I love it. And I feel like we covered all the bases tonight. So, like, awesome, and rock on to that aspect. I think that there's a lot that